As we settle into our new normal and get used to being in our homes and doing pretty much the same stuff every day, news and information about the coronavirus is still changing. That's why the doctors of Jersey Community Hospital are bringing you this podcast with an update on how they are handling the coronavirus pandemic. Joining us today for that conversation is Dr. Michael McNear, the Chief Medical Officer with Jersey Community Hospital. So, Dr. McNear, how are you keeping patients and potential visitors safe when they come into the hospital?
Well, we've actually put in several different ways of doing that. And one of the first things we did very early on was we started to limit the visitors who were coming in. So we started by stopping kids under the age of 18, and that was the first part of it. The second step is we then started limiting it to one visitor per patient, with that visitor being screened prior to seeing the patient with questions about being sick and also whether they've had a temperature and taking their temperature. And now here recently, we've gone to really the third stage, which is we don't allow any visitors at all. That is with the caveat, though, of special circumstances like end of life, something like that, where we would obviously allow family to come in. We would just make arrangements to be able to do that. Beyond that, we've also started screening our employees as they come in every morning. So every morning when they check in, they're asked questions as well. They have a temperature taken, and then they are given a mask to put on, and they then go to their designated location to work. For some people, if they've had any exposure at all to someone with COVID, we are monitoring their temperature several times a day, and we're just keeping a close eye on everybody.
And what are the COVID-19 testing protocols at Jersey Community? Can anyone come in, or how does that process work?
Unfortunately not, and the biggest issue is we just have a very small amount of testing kits available to us.
Mm-hmm.
So as all these new tests are coming out that I'm sure people are hearing about, the rapid test and antibody test, as those are being produced, they're being sent to the hot spots around the country, the New Yorks and Chicagos and New Orleans, which is totally understandable. We are limited to essentially what few test kits we could put together and what the Illinois Department of Public Health could give to us as well. And so we have to be very cognizant of that, and we have to be very judicious in how we use them. So right now, we are testing anybody who comes into the hospital who appears to have symptoms and is ill. So that's somebody that may be admitted to the hospital. I like the way the health department really put it. We're doing two things. We test somebody if we think it's going to make a difference in their care or in how they're treated, and we're treating people based on public health issues. So say somebody who works in a nursing home or even one of our staff, if they're exhibiting any symptoms, those are the people we want to test, because obviously we do not want that they're going to be in touch with many patients, so we want to watch them. But the average person who's out there who has flu-like symptoms, fever, cough, things like that, but they're not that sick, we just don't have the ability to test them right now. And those are the people we're really advising, just like they are around the country, is stay home, stay away from people who are at high risk, really self-quarantine yourself for 2 weeks and let it pass, get through it, and then we go from there. One of the other things that we have done is we have set up a drive-up respiratory clinic, which is out at our East Annex building on East County Road. And if anybody thinks they have symptoms, they can call one of our clinics and they can be set up with an appointment out there. And that's really just a way we're trying to make sure that we are people who are sick but need to see a doctor, we're not bringing them into a clinic, into a waiting room, anything like that. And so that is available for people. If they call any of our offices or the hospital, they can be directed on how to get an appointment out there.
We're hearing about so many practices and hospitals turning to telehealth and telemedicine to manage some of those non-urgent concerns. How is Jersey Community incorporating this?
We are pushing straight ahead on this. Prior to this, telehealth, I think everybody saw, was going to be a really the future of healthcare, or a big part of the future of healthcare. And we had had the ability now for the last couple of years where we could link a patient up with, say, a specialist in St. Louis or Springfield, but we weren't able to make that link to their home. And part of that was with regulations and what Medicare would reimburse for, things like that. Well, a lot of that has changed now with the COVID, and they've essentially waived many of these regulations, which has really opened the door for these kinds of things to happen. So we have made great strides in the last 2 weeks to get a telehealth program up and running where the patient can actually be at home and the physician or nurse practitioner can be at the clinic. And they can have a visit over not only video with audio, but it can also just be a telephone visit. But we've really made some great advances in just a couple of weeks to be able to do that. And I think at this point now, we've done probably around 40 to 50 telehealth visits to patients' homes. And we're seeing that number just continue to increase every day.
I'm also curious about elective procedures. That's been in the news a lot lately. What constitutes as elective and how are those getting rescheduled?
Well, some of the, you know, what is an elective procedure or surgery is somewhat in the eye of the beholder. So there's some gray area there. There are things that are obviously emergent, and that is the patient who, say, falls and breaks their hip. Those are people that have to have surgery. There's no question about that. On the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are having what you consider completely elective surgeries. Perhaps they're having their gallbladder removed, but it's really not bothering them that much. Or, you know, something like that, or they're having colon cancer screening where they're having a colonoscopy, those we're pushing back. The middle group is that group where you have to kind of, we have to look at the risk factors and decide, can this procedure be pushed back 6 weeks safely? So that's really what we're trying to determine between talking with the patient, the surgeon, looking at the risk factors and determining, okay, if we push this back, is that going to make a difference in the health of this person right now? Or is this something that really needs to be done right now? So a good example is somebody who has perhaps a GI bleed that can't wait. And that is a procedure where we have to go in with a scope and take a look and try to fix that. That is one where it needs to be done. A gallbladder could kind of be either way. If somebody's not really having much in the way of symptoms, it could possibly wait 6 weeks. Whereas if somebody, they can't eat any meal without having severe pain, that's one that may not be able to wait and needs to just go ahead and be done. So some of them are easy to decide upon, and there's others, though, that we're really having to pull everybody together and take a look at and determine, can we do it now or can it wait?
So what advice would you give to those in the community listening on just how to manage this pandemic?
A couple things I would first recommend is, as I tell everybody, is don't panic about anything. And the most important thing you could do to help with that, do not listen to all the information you hear on Facebook and, you know, what you read in different places and sometimes even what you see on the news. Much of the information that's out there is completely false. We have been amazed with the rumors that we hear out in our community about things that we know are absolutely false. Of course, we really can't necessarily go out and refute it, you know, due to patient privacy and things of that nature. But it's just amazing. And I keep telling people, you know, make sure you look at who your sources as far as, is it the CDC website? Is it the Illinois Department of Public Health? Those kinds of things. So that's the first thing, because some of the rumors that are out there, it's understandable why people get scared and get concerned. Besides that, you know, a lot of the things we're telling people is that these are the exact same things we tell you to do during flu season. Wash your hands. Be careful when you go to Walmarts and stores, you know, wipe off the carts and try not to touch your face much. And don't go around people who are sick. And at the same time, if you're sick, don't go around other people. So it's really many of the same recommendations we tell them every year. Flu has just gotten to be that point where I think people have been sort of tone deaf to it now. You know, majority of people get immunized and people just don't worry about it like they maybe once did, even though it causes significant amount of admissions to the hospital and deaths every year. So what I tell people is, you know, stay calm, stay healthy, get good sleep, stay hydrated, take care of yourselves. If you can work from home, work from home. If you can avoid being around, you know, elderly parents, grandparents, things like that, you know, please do. And if you start to feel sick, the best thing is just stay at home, stay away from, you know, others and get through the illness right now. Now, one of these days when we can test, you know, on a more mass scale, we'll want to do that so that, you know, we can really give good advice to people then about, hey, you have it, you need to stay at home, or you don't have it, you know, you can kind of go more about your normal routine. But right now, with not being able to do that, The best thing is if you're sick, stay home. If you're to a point, though, that you're really feeling sick, short of breath, not feeling good, that's where you need to call your doctor, see what they tell you to do, or come to the emergency room.
Great. Well, Dr. McNair, I'll let you get back to it. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time today. That was Dr. Michael McNair, the Chief Medical Officer at Jersey Community Hospital. Visit jch.org for daily updates on COVID-19. Additionally, follow Jersey Community Hospital on Facebook for more daily updates, new processes, or other relevant information. And if you are concerned you may be experiencing COVID-19 symptoms, call the JCH COVID-19 hotline at 618-639-4277. That's 618-639-4277. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Stay home and stay safe.